Hello and welcome to the Amongst Romans podcast, your window to everything Italy from an outsider's perspective. Join us each week as we navigate the Italian way of life and all the adventures that come along with it. So the other day I was on TikTok and I saw this person sharing the most overrated and underrated places in Italy that they visited. Obviously this wasn't like a complete list, but I thought what was interesting is that they said underrated was Naples, which I definitely agree with. But one of the places that they said was overrated was Venice. And that made me sad because I love Venice. I think it's such a beautiful, beautiful place. And it really makes me sad when people go to Venice and they hate it, or they only see a couple of things and they're like, oh, it's such an overrated place. There's just so many people going to Venice, and I think they're not getting the full experience out of it, and that alone makes me really sad.
Yeah, I don't think Venice is at all overrated. I think actually it's underrated, in my opinion. It's one of those places that you need to experience once, if not multiple times.
And I mean, I get it. Lots of people go to Venice, right? I think there's a reason why they're fighting over tourism. I think the numbers I was looking up was like 110,000 tourists a day come into Venice, and about 90% of them are just like day trippers. So when people come to Venice and they come for a day, or they come for just like a brief trip from like a cruise ship, I don't think they're getting the full experience. That's when you're gonna feel that Venice is overcrowded, that Venice is overrated. It's like being at an amusement park and just standing in line, right? Like that's what it really compares to. I think they identify this as this new hit and run tourism, which means people just come, not even for the day, they come for a certain amount of time and then they leave. So it's kind of hard to see Venice as like an empty place. It just seems like it's always filled with people, right?
Yeah, funny that you mentioned, you know, tourism. After watching the Ripley show, I actually did some searches online and I came across a fun fact. The fact that back in the 50s, total worldwide tourism was around, I think it was 25 million. But I looked up the numbers. Italy alone last, I think, in a couple years, it's reached around 60 million tourists a year. So it's quite a difference. And I think we kind of noticed that watching the show. Not many tourists were seen in the TV series, so it seems like it was pretty accurate.
And I think that's another thing that the Netflix series does so well. It shows you those places like Venice. Last time we talked about the Amalfi Coast, but when he goes to Venice, that was also spectacular because you get to see Venice in that romantic, nostalgic kind of way. Maybe how it was in the 50s, like you said, there was not that many tourists. So you get to see Venice, what it looked like, that sort of magical appeal of it that I think now is not the same. I can see why people want to go there because, as I said, I love it. I think Venice is a beautiful city. When you go there, it's almost like a postcard, right? It's really like something out of a fairy tale, and it's so unique. You don't have any other place like Venice in the world. I'm sorry, but Vegas doesn't count. It's a replica. So you have this city that's basically built on this marshland in a lagoon, and you know, it just sits there, and every day it's threatened by the water. And despite that, it has these beautiful buildings. I can't really describe it other than beautiful. Like you walk inside and like you walk around and it's just beautiful. And I forgot how beautiful Venice was. It was the first time we came, obviously I loved it, and then we haven't been for a number of years. And then I remember saying to you, I forgot how beautiful Venice is, how just magical it appears when you enter the city. It's just, I think it's one of those places that you have to experience at least once in your life.
Yeah, I agree. It's very picturesque, and I don't think it does it justice when you see it on TV or documentaries or whatever. You have to experience it to actually see the true beauty of the city.
We've been talking a lot lately about cities that sort of predate Romans, right? Venice is a bit different because Venice wasn't there when the Romans were around. It came about after the Roman Empire fell, right? So it started off as like a basic fishing village. The people were trying to escape the barbarian tribes and they were pillaging everywhere. So they thought, let's escape to the water. And they built this, I guess it's a feat of engineering. I still don't understand how they came up with the idea. I guess this must have been like leftover creativity from the Romans. But, you know, like Venice itself has not been around as long as like some other places in Italy, right?
Yeah, Venice evolved from a small fishing village back in those days. So, you know, it turned into a huge trading hub. And it was actually a place where they built many of the warships back to trade with other countries.
And I think most people think of Florence as the sort of, you know, the Medici family were the bankers of Europe. But Venice had some serious cash too, right? So Venice, as you said, was a merchant hub, but also it was a portal to the rest of that Mediterranean and African countries and the markets. So a lot of that, when they were going to the Crusades, they were going through Venice. So a lot of money was in Venice. When you go there, you see it, because Venice hasn't really changed in like centuries, right? So you see the beautiful buildings, the bridges, all the art that was built with all that money that was coming from all these wealthy people who were just trading grain and spices and art. And it was really a big maritime power in those days. So for quite some time. So again, they had the money. And I think most people don't necessarily realize the background of the city, right? They might just think, oh, it was like a Roman thing. It wasn't. And I think that's, again, fascinating part about Venice.
As quickly as it rose to power, it also, you know, declined rapidly in the 15th century, right?
Yeah, it did. I would say Venice had a good run, about, you know, 1,000 years or so before it sort of started to decline. And I think a lot of that power went away when they discovered the New World, right? So a lot of the money that was, the trade that was coming through Venice was all of a sudden now going, you know, the trade was coming from like what we know as North America now and South America, whereas before it was coming from Middle East and Asia. So I think Venice lost its position and its power a bit. Interestingly enough, it lost its independence and was ruled by Napoleon. We should talk about Napoleon in one of these episodes and how he influenced Italy and Italian history. But I think that would be an interesting episode. And again, you know, that part of Italy was eventually under the Austrian Empire, which again had its own influences. And I think we can see a lot of that in Venice today.
Well, most people that visit Venice, you know, their first stop is usually the Basilica di San Marco, right? So this church has a Greek layout with 5 domes supported by semicircular arches. So it's definitely one of the major landmarks to see in Venice.
And it's a beautiful one. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a gorgeous church, especially when it's, I would say, sort of at dusk when the sun starts to set. That church looks beautiful. And again, as you said, most people come to see the Basilica and the Piazza San Marco in front of it, right? Those are the probably most common areas of Venice that most people gather. And again, it's a beautiful, beautiful spot in Venice. But there's also the Doge's Palace, the Palazzo Ducale, which is sort of like when you go from the Basilica towards the canal. Do you remember when we went to visit that like many, many years ago? That is such a beautiful building. Those buildings, the Palazzo Ducale, the Bridge of Sighs, which is sort of behind it, they are just stunning. Like when you're looking at them, it's, I don't know, for me, because I love architecture and I love art, I think those are such gorgeous buildings. Like, if you go to Venice, obviously you have to go there and see it, but that's not the only place to see in Venice.
So why is it called the Bridge of Sighs?
Well, that's a funny story with that one. So the bridge connects the Doge's Palace with the prison. If you were sentenced, when they took you to the prison through this bridge, you could look out the window and apparently everybody who was being taken to the prison would sigh, as this is the last view of Venice before they were brought into their cell. So that's why it's called the Bridge of Sighs. It's a beautiful one, which is actually kind of, I don't know if ironic is the right word, but it's one of those places where, you know, bad things happen to people, but it's a gorgeous looking place, right? So it's, again, mixing that. Just because some place looks nice doesn't mean it's always had a good background in history.
Yeah, the architecture was really interesting there when we visited. I remember it had some interesting arched windows and carvings, and I remember the architecture was a Baroque in style.
Yeah, it's, I think everything in there is pretty much Baroque and maybe some Renaissance, but again, it's beautiful. So what else people see? I think most people, when they come, you probably enter, you go along the canal, right? The Grand Canal, which is beautiful. It's the biggest canal. And it's got, that's the one with all the palaces on the sides. So you probably go to the Rialto Bridge, which is packed with people. I remember when we saw Ripley and there was no one on the bridge, which was like incredible to see.
Yeah, that's something you don't see any longer. You usually see jam-packed full of tourists taking pictures. So it was pretty cool to see that in the show.
And I think Venice is one of those places where most people don't really think of in terms of like museums, right? Do you remember when we went, the last time we went to the Da Vinci Museum? And that was incredible.
Yeah, interesting enough, there weren't that many visitors at the museums there. So, you know, when we did go, you know, we kind of had free rein walking around and looking at the, you know, the gorgeous art. And, you know, it was actually a really cool experience.
We've talked about how beautiful Venice is, so it's not really a surprise that it has major influence over art and literature and even music. So when you think about Renaissance, and we talked a bit about the architecture and the art, but the artist Titian was actually from Venice. Also, we cannot forget Casanova, the famous ladies' man who, actually, I remember reading his memoirs when I was in school, and that book is quite fascinating for many different reasons, but he was also from there. Marco Polo was also from Venice, and we know Marco Polo was a famous explorer. In music, Vivaldi was also from Venice, or he was really influenced by Venice. But anyway, if you're into opera and you like Vivaldi, there's a connection there. And of course, we can't forget about Shakespeare, The Merchant of Venice.
Yeah, let's not forget the world's first opera house, which is the Teatro San Cassiano, which was opened in 1637. That's actually also a really cool place to see.
There are some fun facts I think we can cover about Venice. So did you know that Venice has 417 bridges, and that includes 72 private ones?
No, I didn't know that.
Yep. There are also about 177 canals, and the Grand Canal that we've mentioned is also the largest one. Now, a third fact that you might not know about is that there are about 170 those grand massive palazzos along the Grand Canal, and they're all range from 1200 to 1700 when they were built.
And let's not forget, you know, how Venice was actually built. If you're not familiar, 1500 years ago, it's essentially sitting on top of long wooden stilts that basically have been driven into the layers of soft sand and mud below. So yeah, it's actually a miracle that it's still standing, the city. So, it's quite a marvel.
It really is. I've seen a bunch of documentaries on YouTube on how they're trying to, you know, keep Venice from sinking. But when you think about it, Venice is actually 118 islands altogether. So it's not just this one big landmass, which I think makes it even more difficult to keep afloat, right?
And, you know, supposedly the city actually sinks a couple millimeters each year. So, you know, they are, you know, trying to keep that from occurring as best they can. But, you know, there's always usually some sort of work occurring in the background when you visit. You know, speaking of canals, you know, we noticed that they're actually pretty clean. Each time we visited, you know, people, you know, I've always mentioned to us for some reason the smell, but you know, they do keep the canals pretty clean, and I don't think we've ever had any issues. I don't think you ever noticed the smell.
No, we haven't, and I actually forgot about it till you mentioned it. I think the first time when we were going, I was afraid that it would smell, because again, we would hear stories about it, and no, it never smelled. It was very clean. That we've been there a few times now, and never had an issue with that. So I'm not sure if that's seasonal or if that's, they just probably are better at cleaning it. I mean, they must, right? All right. So another thing that I thought we can touch upon is, well, we already talked about Ripley and how Venice has appeared in different movies and shows, of course. But did you know that Venice has appeared in three different James Bond movies?
Yeah, I do remember they seem to go to Italy quite a bit, and Venice is always the focal point. But yeah, I remember that scene from Casino Royale actually vividly. I don't even know how they managed to to shoot it, because yeah, it was quite a bit of damage occurring while they were shooting that one scene at the end.
Yeah, I think that was filmed in a studio, but still, they did such a good job that you actually think it is in Venice, right? So, yeah, there were three different James Bond movies. If you are a James Bond fan, you probably know that From Russia with Love was with Sean Connery, Moonraker with Roger Moore, and Casino Royale with Daniel Craig. So three different Bonds, three different movies that just seem to keep going back to Venice. So there are a couple other movies that I thought were interesting about Venice. One of them is The Tourist, which is the one with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. Oh no, it's not Brad Pitt, it's Johnny Depp. So they go to Venice and it's sort of like a mystery slash thriller type of, it's pretty cool, it's set in Venice. And another one that I remember we watched was Dangerous Beauty. It's a story of Veronica Franco, which was an actual person, and she is a courtesan, which is I guess a fancy word for like a sex worker back in those days. Her mother was a courtesan as well, so she's taught all these skills to be, you know, a companion to men. And it's actually a fascinating story, because in those days, like lots of history, women were not necessarily free to just do stuff on their own. And she was quite a fabulous person in history. So it's quite interesting. And when you watch it, again, it kind of gives you the idea of Venice, what it looked like, you know, a few centuries ago, which, spoiler, didn't look that much different than it does today.
And of course, you know, we have to remember that most recently the show Ripley, which had, you know, actually a few episodes based in Venice, where he ended up renting out a little palace for himself.
Yeah, that was amazing. I wish I could afford a palace like that. I mean, mind you, now this type of palace is probably a hotel and it's really expensive.
Yeah, so let's talk about the, you know, practical tips for visitors going to Venice.
Well, I guess the first thing would be don't go in the summertime in the middle of tourist season, right? That's when you're going to encounter all the other people going there and you're not going to like it. We've been to Venice a number of times. I think the first time we went, we might have gone in the summertime, but that was like years ago, right? So it wasn't as busy. I would say spring and probably late fall are probably good, because remember January, they have what they call the high water, I forget what the name of it is in Italian, acqua alta, which they have there's a lot of flooding happening in Venice at that time. I would say avoid January. February, there's the carnival, so again, if you're going for that, it's great, but again, prices will be higher, right? So you can't really get the feel of Venice if you're surrounded by people constantly. If you go off season, and again, you stay inside Venice, not outside Venice, you'll have a better experience.
Yeah, unless you plan on staying several days, I'd probably recommend staying right in Venice itself. I know we did our first time, but then I guess, you know, our second or third trip, I think we ended up staying just outside and, you know, taking transit into Venice Central. So, you know, that's also an option.
Yeah, because I think we had the car and we couldn't park it anywhere. So we had to stay sort of outside the city center and we couldn't do it. Most people who come to Venice come for a day, right? Or they come from a cruise ship. So if you are staying in Venice, you can actually wake up earlier before the crowds come, or sort of like later in the evening when they all leave. And that's really when you can experience a bit more of Venice without the crowds, because people have just left, right? So again, stay inside Venice. You'll have a more of a chance to see the places not as crowded.
Another recommendation I would have for tourists or anyone visiting is to, you know, just walk around. You know, you don't have to visit all the common places tourists would actually visit. You know, many of them are kind of tourist trappish. I would just spend the day just walking around, walking the streets, visiting side streets and seeing the true Venice, right? You know, of course you'd want to see the usual landmarks, but outside of that, I would recommend spending the day just walking around and enjoying the sights.
Yeah, that's the best thing about Venice, is getting lost, right? You have to get away from the main tourist corridors to actually experience Venice and actually see what it looks like when it's not filled with people. Because again, Venice is a beautiful, beautiful city and it's a bunch of little islands. So you kind of have to go away from the main spots to get away from everyone, who's not going to venture out that far because they're only there for a day or a few hours and they want to see the major sites. And I think if you do that, you again, you'll be able to see the Venice that's there without the crowds. We've been there like, what, a few times. I don't think it's ever been that busy that it was unbearable. Like, not like the pictures I've seen from other people.
Yeah, it hasn't been as busy as you see on TV, right? So you definitely see the usual, you know, the usual areas where, you know, people are visiting the Rialto Bridge and all that. But, you know, it hasn't been that bad. You can actually get around.
And actually, it's important to mention that if you're coming to Venice, I guess, in 2024, Venice is one of the first cities to introduce a city tax. It's a bit confusing right now to figure this out because I don't think it has like different days, so it's like a continuous time, right? So it's gonna be €5 per person starting April 25th. So everybody over the age of 14 has to pay it, and it's going to come into effect on only certain days, which they, I guess, consider peak tourism periods. So again, it's gonna be April 25th to May 5th, and like each weekend plus 2 weekends in July. So it's a bit confusing, but we'll put a link to the place where you can actually book your ticket and your entrance. So you can, if you know when you're coming, you can see if you have to actually book a ticket, just so you're able to go and actually see Venice without, you know, getting there and not being able to get in. I'm not sure how it's gonna work because it's just starting and this is Italy. Things might not go the way they planned, so that might still change. But for now, expect to be paying €5 if you're coming to Venice.
So let's talk about some of my favorite subjects. So let's discuss local dishes. I think the first one on the list is the sardo in sauro. It basically consists of deep fried sardines and it's marinated in vinegar and pine nuts. So it's one of those dishes you definitely want to try. You know, I love sardines, so, you know, pasta, you know, on its own, whatever. But those are one of the dishes that I would recommend. Then, of course, my second favorite dish would have to be the bacalao mantecato. So it's basically almost like a pureed dried cod. So they get dried cod, let it sit in water for a little while, and then they cook it and just, you know, flake it up, almost puree it, and then add salt, pepper, olive oil, and kind of spread it. You can spread it on bread or even slices of polenta, which is one of my favorites. So definitely something you want to try while you're there.
I would say my favorite dish was the squid ink pasta when we were there. I think Venice is not the only place in Italy, but like one of the few places that we've come across that they had that on the menu quite often, right? So the squid ink pasta, squid ink risotto, I personally think it's very good. It might not be for everyone, but Venice is well known for that. So if you're there and you see either risotto or pasta with squid ink, I really recommend it. That's my favorite dish.
Yeah, I enjoyed that dish myself actually quite a bit. You know, you might get put off a little bit from the squid ink. So, you know, I think you just need to get over that and just try that dish.
There's another, like a street food version of like the deep fried cheese, right? It's sort of like calamari or the appetizers that they have. What's the name of that?
Oh, yes. I think they're called cicchetti, or I think, yeah, cicchetti is one of the dishes. And it's basically deep fried calamari and cheese. So it's, you know, it's actually pretty tasty.
There's a lot of seafood and fish type of dishes in Venice, which is not surprising. And also they have the mixed fried squid and shrimp and all that, right? Like that's also quite good.
Yeah, that's one of the dishes I enjoy also. You know, anything, I guess any seafood deep fried is great to me, so.
And we shouldn't forget the Aperol Spritz, which is not native to Venice, but it's a signature drink, which is very popular in Venice, especially if you're sitting outside on a patio, which I would say if you're coming to Italy, you can have an Aperol Spritz anywhere. So Venice just makes it a bit more picturesque.
So when you do visit Venice, you know, one of my recommendations would actually be getting a walking tour while you're there. You know, if you plan on staying there just a day or two, I probably recommend getting a walking tour through the city. And I think that's probably the best way to experience it personally, because, you know, going on your own, it might be a bit difficult to reach all the main landmarks that you want to see. And having someone, you know, taking you to these landmarks and explaining the backstories is actually, you know, one of the experiences you'd want to have.
I think that also goes for food tours, right? There's a lot of walking tours, food, cooking classes. I think that's a good way to also get to know the destination. So again, if you are there and you want to experience the traditional flavors of Venice, then, you know, a cooking class or like a food tour is definitely something I would recommend as well.
If Venice is just one of many stops on your trip to Italy, I'd probably kind of pack light for this spot because it's pretty difficult to get around with suitcases, especially walking through all the streets and actually getting on the Vaporetto, which essentially is a quick way to get around the cities.
Yeah, so the Vaporetti are the actual sort of like water taxis to take you around. There are certain places you can't really walk simply to, unless you have to go through a different bridge and make sure you have to come around. So taking the little taxi is quicker and easier. And again, you have a lot of walking. So a heavy suitcase, especially one with wheels, is not the best because, again, you're going to be damaging your suitcase and you're going to be damaging the streets because they're not used to suitcases. But another thing we should mention is that if you do decide to stay outside of Venice, there is a train that comes directly into like the city center. You just have to get off the train and you sort of cross this main bridge, which is very modern. And then you are in like the touristy part of Venice where the canals are and you can just kind of walk around. So if you want to stay maybe close to that entrance or that area, that might save you from dragging your suitcases around, right?
Yeah, it's been a while since we've been to Venice. So I think it's about time we plan that trip again.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's been a while. It's been a couple of years since we've been there. And I think we're due to go to Venice. So I'm thinking maybe we should try in the fall because I don't think we're going to have time before summer. So again, like I wouldn't go in during summer. I think we can try looking maybe in the fall and plan a trip to Venice. But if you are planning a trip to Venice, I would avoid the summer times, especially July, August. It's very hot and very crowded. And if you plan on going to Venice, you know, go off season and make sure to go beyond the main tourist spots and you'll find a different city, something that most people don't experience because they don't even go there.
Yeah, since we've been discussing quite a bit about the episodes of Ripley, I think we should visit some of the cities that he's been visiting. So I think Palermo might be on the list next.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing Palermo because that's such a great city. So I think we'll definitely do an episode on Palermo because we loved being there. But actually, I was thinking about doing Florence. And I'm actually surprised that Ripley didn't go to Florence considering they had that whole angle about, you know, the art dealer type thing. If you haven't seen the show, like, you should go and see it. Yeah, so we'll decide which one we're doing next. So stay tuned, come back for future tips, and we hope you plan your trip to Venice and have a great time and enjoy it. And this brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review on whatever you're listening right now. We'll be back next week, so stay tuned.